Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 Podcast. I'm Zach Babo. Today I'm coming to you on a Thursday, not our typical Wednesday, in order to catch up on the Division 3 quarterfinals, as there are four games played on Wednesday. In the South, Salisbury upset number one seed and undefeated Dickinson 11-9, in as much as an upset can ever really be considered an upset when it involves Salisbury winning a game in May. And Stevenson defended their home field advantage against Lynchburg, walking away with a 13-7 victory. In the North, RIT dominated Tufts 14-5 from start to finish, and Cortland used a big second half to pull away from Western New England 12-7. So now we have the semifinals set. RIT and Cortland will clash at 1 p.m. on Sunday in a rematch of what was a 12-11 double overtime game in the regular season. The game will be at Cortland. And Stevenson and Salisbury will play at 7 p.m. at Stevenson in also a rematch of what was a 10-8 Stevenson win out in Salisbury in early April. We're going to be touching on all four games, talking to Cortland coach Steve Bevel, Dickinson coach Dave Webster, Ken Stockman, who watched all four games, particularly the RIT Tufts contest, and I'll share some of my thoughts from Stevenson Lynchburg. To get my full take on the game, read my in-game blog or story on InsideLacrosse.com. Stevenson walked away with a 13-7 win by largely being able to exercise a game plan that played to their strengths. They did a great job on ground balls in the middle of the field and created chaos when maybe they didn't have a clean play. They won the face-off battle, and they took more shots than a Gatling gun. The Mustangs outshot the Hornets 17-3 in the first quarter and dominated the ground ball and face-off stats 19-8 and 9-4 respectively in the first half. It just felt like Stevenson controlled possession for much of the game. It's kind of interesting to watch Stevenson's offense because the one constant is shooting. They're just going to put the ball on or towards the cage as frequently as possible, and their success is completely dictated by how good those looks are. And that might be kind of an obvious analysis of an offense, but it's really present for a team that takes 55 or more shots a game on average. When Stevenson gets stagnant, it's not that their offense gets stagnant, it's that they just start to settle for bad shots or press more with the ball, take selfish looks, take low percentage looks. If their offense is cashing in, it's because they're dodging hard, they're taking shots that are smart shots in good places on the field, they're moving the ball very well, they're sharing it, and they're keeping it dangerous and keeping the offense moving to dangerous places. And while the offense often grabs your attention, the one thing that kind of gets overlooked for the Stevenson team is how well they defend. They're tied for 17th in the country at giving up 6.86 goals against average. In 22 games, they've only allowed double digits 5 times. And when you think of the kind of high-octane, end-to-end style they play, that's pretty impressive or kind of unique, I guess, at least. The unit is playing well together now, understanding their matchups and how to play each other, and they're getting much better at kind of recognizing opponents' tendencies and kind of how to play against that as a unit. And, you know, it's a great time of year for a young player to mature, and freshman goalkeeper Dimitri Pekunis is growing up quickly in net, and he seems to get more confident with each game. So now, old foes, Stevenson and Salisbury, will meet in the South semifinal. I find this kind of funny almost, as Stevenson just left the CAC for the MAC Commonwealth, yet the two teams still find themselves playing twice in the same season. Typically, as CAC rivals, they would play the regular season date, then again in the CAC title game, then often meet again in the playoffs, like they did last year where Salisbury won 7-2 in the semifinals, which was actually the season sweep of the Mustangs for the three-game set of the year. Typically, the teams kind of had a habit of trading one-for-one, one-for-one. After Stevenson beat Salisbury in April, they'll now hope for the season sweep by taking the semifinal game on Sunday. While this is starting to feel like the same old Salisbury team that always battles its way through May and makes a date in the Division 3 championship, this year held at the Link in Philly, this doesn't quite feel like the same old Stevenson's team that is close but can't quite get over the hump. Sunday's game should be a pretty great one and exercise a lot of the old demons and rivalries between these two teams. It seems appropriate that Stevenson's path to potentially their first title would have to run through the Gauls, and it seems equally appropriate that any narrative of a resilient Salisbury squad would have to include a chance of getting a little revenge from a regular season loss come playoff time against a bitter, bitter rival. But before we get to Sunday's game, let's tie up the loose ends from Wednesday. Next, I'll share with you some post-game thoughts from Lynchburg coach Steve Kadelka. Then we'll get to the post-game wrap session by Stevenson coach Paul Cantabine.
Coach, I guess just kind of, you know, for starters, I mean, thoughts on the game like this. I mean, obviously you guys had played them once before. This game went a bit differently in the first game.
You know, I mean, I thought they did some pretty good things early in the game. I thought their shot placement early in the game was really good. And, you know, I thought our goalie played a pretty good game, but I thought some of the shots that they put in were just ones that, you know, not many goalies are going to make a save to. So, you know, I thought we dug ourselves a little bit of a hole, but then we scratched our way back to make it 6-4, and I thought we had some great chances there when it was 6-4. And, you know, I mean, a couple of those go in, it might be a little different ball game, but, you know, it wasn't, and now we're, you know, down 8-4 at half instead. And I thought that it was a little bit, you know, a little upsetting at that time. But, you know, our guys rallied, and we played a really good early part of the third quarter. Their goalie made some great saves, I thought, in the third quarter to kind of keep us at bay. If a couple of those go in, it might have been a different story heading down the last, you know, 20 minutes of the game.
Is that mostly feel? I mean, last game, you know, you guys fell behind, and then the fourth came back. Is that mostly kind of feel like the difference is this game? Just a couple more stops, a couple more shots.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple. You know, yeah. I mean, when it was 6-4, we had opportunities. You know, when it was 8-4, and we made it 8-5. Max scored a great goal to start the third. We had opportunities. You know, those go in. It's 8-6, 9-6, 9-7. That's much different than 10-5. Or, you know, and in this sport, you know how that is. You cut that game to two goals, everyone plays a little differently. You know, it's a five goals, you can play a little loose. And I thought we allowed Stevenson to play a little bit loose tonight, and they're good when they do that. They're really good.
What were they doing on offense that was very effective for them tonight?
I mean, I thought they shot the ball really well. I thought our defense, you know, didn't give up a lot of great looks, but the looks that we did give them, I thought they buried. And that's a sign of a good team, you know. You know, we tried to mix and match a lot of different defenses against them. I thought they worked for the most part, but you know, they made, you know, when we gave them a little bit of room to make a play, they made a play. And you know, I remember one man up in particular, they scored, and you know, we did not do a great job on man up tonight, and you know, that's our fault as coaches. But you know, they were pretty spot on with some of their opportunities. When we gave them opportunities, they cashed in.
What about defensively? Were they able to do certain things tonight that kind of slowed you guys down, or limited certain things you wanted?
Well,
to do?
You know, I don't know what the stats were on the faceoff X, but I thought they pretty much controlled the ball there. And one of our keys was to have the ball. And if you don't win it at the faceoff X, you know, now you have to win it somewhere else, whether it's a save, a turnover. I don't think they turned the ball over that much tonight either. I thought they played pretty well. You know, I mean, I think you have to play pretty good to beat us by six goals, and I thought they did.
And you know, I mean, you mentioned effort of Max, and he's a senior. You know, has a big game tonight. Unfortunately, it's not enough. I mean, yeah. was this game like that? I'm saying, you know, a guy kind of going out with a bang like that.
We unfortunately in this profession, you lose a great group of guys every year. You know, and so you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Max and the rest of the seniors are going to play great tonight. They've carried us to this level. And now they'll pass the torch to another group of guys that will hopefully take us further, you know. But they're a great group of guys, and, you know, probably the worst thing is that we won't get to practice tomorrow.
And, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of harder after a loss, but do you have a sense of kind of the season or the team for you, I guess, this year?
I think we did a lot of great things. There's no doubt about it. You know, you make it to the Elite Eight, you're doing something right, and you know, I think our guys, I give a lot of credit to them. I think, you know, we just had some things we had to deal with this year, and I thought the guys handled it really well. And at the end of the day, I thought, you know, for us to make it to this level was great. But I think the best part about it is there's going to be a group of guys that I'm going to go talk to in the locker room right now that are going to want to go further. And that's what this program is all about. You know, we will not be satisfied making it to the Elite Eight.
And, you know, you have familiarity with – you guys just played Stevenson. You played a one-goal game during the season. You played a one-goal game. You won against Salisbury.
Yeah.
Just any thoughts on that, on now the potential matchup?
Oh, that would be great. You know, that would be a great game. You know, those guys are – they know each other so well. And, you know, they'll have a couple of days to get ready for each other. And, you know, I mean, hats off to Salisbury for – you know, they're the defending national champions for a reason. And, you know – And Stevenson is playing pretty good lacrosse right now, so it should be an awesome matchup on Sunday.
So that was losing coach Steve Kadelka. Now let's jump over to the winning side with Stevenson coach Paul Cantabene.
I think overall the key for us is that I think we're just playing much more composed overall. I don't think we're starting to really understand how to play as a team, and I think that we're starting to take better shots, and I think our defense is playing better, and that's the big key too. You know, they're really starting to get together and learn how to play together a little bit, especially with Cal in there now, and I think it's great that we're mixing in Chad Williams in there a little bit. So, you know, I think we're just playing better together, and we knew Lynchburg was going to make a run at us, but I think we're handling those runs a lot better. In the past, you know, we kind of crumble a little bit and do that, and now that we're playing more guys in the defensive end and we're playing a little more crisp on offense, we're able to withstand those now and actually extend our lead. So we're happy with how we played, but that was the big key, and we were able to win all the faceoffs tonight just about. You know, I think the big key is that we kept getting possession after possession, putting a lot of pressure on Lynchburg all night.
Was there, I guess, other than that kind of a maturation idea, was there something specific that kept this game different from the last one, the way that you guys built a lead?
Well, it kind of went the same way as the last one. You know, we got up 6-1, and then they score three in a row and come back 6-4, and I think that we just made some plays at the end of that first half that was the biggest key. You know, we got the good goal by Mark out of a timeout, and we got there, and the guys didn't run anything that I designed, but they played, effort broke down and made a good play, and then, we got the man-up goal. You know, we got the minute foul, we wanted to run one of the plays that we had. We ran it quickly, and we got a big quick banger out of it, and I think that was a big tie because we were able to go up 4, and then we were able to extend that in the second, third quarter. But we're just playing more solid. I think everybody's understanding how to play. We're earlier in the year, we kind of scramble a little bit, and weren't playing as well together. So, and everybody's contributing. Especially Dimitri played much better tonight than he did the other night, and really blossomed as a goalkeeper. A little bit, and you know, winning those faceoffs, and then I think our 4-man attack rotation has given us a lot. You know, this year, a lot going forward.
Mark's first goal was with 1.1 second left in the first quarter, and then he scored two in the last minute of the second quarter. How significant were those in terms of...
Well, you know, they say how you end quarters and halves. You know, those are huge momentum things. When you're scoring with 1.1 left, the other team thinks they're going to stop you. Those are huge momentum for our guys. And for us to score those goals in that period of time, those are heartbreakers. As a coach, you're sitting there like, oh, my God, those are just killers, you know, because that gives you the momentum going into the next half, you know, so instead of being down a little bit. So those are huge for us. And Mark, you know, he makes big plays. But it's his turn to be put in those positions, and he made them. And we've done that all year. I think guys, that when they're put in position to make plays, when it counts, they make them.
You mentioned Dimitri's play. How big is that for you guys getting solid play from a freshman in that, you know, in a playoff?
Well, you need goal play. You know, you got to be strong up the middle. You know, they say you win a lot of games. We're strong at the faceoff circle. Dimitri is a strong goalie for us and gives us a chance, and he played really well. And that's what we needed to win this game, and it helped us because they thought they got some really quality shots, and he made some good quality saves, and we were able to actually hold him. Our biggest thing we tell our guys is first time, only time. Which means the ball's on the ground, we want to pick it up and clear it and not give teams second chances. And as soon as we made the save, I thought we did a great job getting that ball off the ground, getting it up, and only given Lynchburg limited opportunities in offense.
Did you anticipate you would have the kind of success on faceoffs you had tonight?
Well, you know, I think the first time we played them, we kind of made a little mistakes, and he kind of out-toughed us a little bit, I would say. And I think these guys this time took that to heart. You know, Sam and Brent really took that to heart, and I think they were a little upset how it went the first time. And I think they did a great job this game, and just getting those wins and doing a great job with it. So they took that to heart a little bit. And, Vin Curran there is a great faceoff guy, but, of course, he's playing on the first midfield line as well. And so, you know, I think he got tired throughout the course of the game. They were trying to rest him, so they put the pole in there a little bit and some other guys rest him. But you know, when it gets humid out, it's really tough to keep take the faceoffs, all the faceoffs, and run in the first midfield line. So I give him a lot of credit, but I think he got a little tired.
What's been the key to success for you guys defensively? Is it a mastery of a system, or is it more everybody kind of owning their one-on-one jobs?
I think there's a lot of accountability to our defense. You know, you got to do your job, and if you don't, you got to have the accountability to say that, you know, I didn't do my job. And with that, but we also think we played a good system that we've developed here over 9 years. You know, we like to pressure guys and get out there and get on guys, and you know, we do some little somatic things a lot different than other teams do. I think that give teams problems, and I think we do a great job of the scouting, and I think our guys are also very acute to. You know, what they're going to run, the teams are going to run, and, you know, situations and stuff like that. And they're really selling out for each other now, too. And that's one of the things I think early in the season we weren't getting that sellout from everybody. Now I think we're getting that sellout from everybody.
And, you know, I mean, you guys, they're not in the conference anymore, but lo and behold, you got to play Salisbury a second time this year. You know, just thoughts on, I mean, you already played them once, you got one good win. Yeah. Thoughts on just kind of heading into that
match? Well, they're a great team, you know, and they're playing much better this time of the year. And so, you know, we watched the game earlier, and I thought they beat an excellent Dickinson team. And after they were up 5-1 Dickinson, and they made the comeback and played really well and controlled 3/4 of that game. And, you know, we're going to have our hands full, you know, but, I mean, it's going to be a great game, I think. You know, we're excited to play them again. You know, we're used to playing them 2 or 3 times a year, so it's nothing new to us. And, you know, I think that we lost to them 3 times last year in a lot of close games, and we're eager to play them again and see what it's like in our home field to play them. And it's going to be a great game, and I'm sure Coach Berkman's going to have them ready to go.
So Stevenson's future opponent in the semifinals, Salisbury, got there by beating the number 1 seed in the South and previously undefeated Dickinson Red Devils. The defeat ended an 18-game win streak for the Red Devils, where they went undefeated in conference and won the Centennial AQ. I caught up with Dickinson coach Dave Webster a day after the Salisbury game to talk about his team's playoff loss, the run they had through the postseason, and how the Red Devils are going to rebuild for next year. Okay, we now welcome to the podcast again, Dickinson coach Dave Webster. Coach, you guys, your great season kind of ended last night on a sour note. Maybe you fall to defending champion Salisbury 11-9. I guess can you kind of take me through the game a little bit? It seemed like you guys got out to a pretty solid start, and then Salisbury was kind of able to I guess in some ways you could say do what they do in terms of chip away, hang around, and then finally when they got control of the game, managed to keep it down the stretch.
Sure, we had a really fantastic start. Went up 4-1 at one point. Had a great run. We get those runs usually in the middle of the field. Some transition, score some nice goals, and certainly were encouraged by that. We knew that Salisbury would make their own run, and they did, and tied things up. So at halftime, we went and tied. Felt good about a couple of adjustments we were making in the second half, but weren't able to control possession in the second half the way we had in the first, and that certainly gave them an advantage, and they controlled the tempo and the pace of the second half, and ultimately won the game with that.
Was that, I guess, the deciding factor in a lot of the game? You guys got your early start off of strong play in the middle of the field, and then they kind of equalized and eventually took more control in the second half by them doing better in the middle of the field?
I think so. I think it's always kind of a between two closely matched teams. It's a battle of wills, and it's going to go back and forth with runs for both teams, and that's what the first half was like. And in the second half, we were strong with face-offs in the first half. We won that battle overall, but in the second half, it leaned their way, which gave them that key possession. They were able to control the pace. They slowed things down a little bit, went deeper possessions. We want to play a little faster and like the up-tempo, and that creates runs for us. So I think it frustrated us a little bit and led to some turnovers and some impatience when we did get the ball. And you can't have turnovers in that type of game with that opponent at this point in the season. So that was the difference in the second half.
How much did it feel like maybe experience came into play in this game? I mean, Salisbury, typically has a lot of postseason experience, but this was a little bit younger of a postseason or of a team for them. And you guys, had maybe a bit more postseason experience in terms of, your squad having a couple of good runs. But I don't know. I mean, there always seems to be a little something in terms of just an implied seniority to a Salisbury team at times of year like this, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think, if you looked at the end of the game, at the players who are on the field, we probably had more juniors and seniors. They had younger guys. Their experience, their coaches, their tradition is certainly deeper for that level of the postseason than ours. But I don't know if that was a factor then. The guys we had on the field were guys who led us to an 18-0 regular season. So they were experienced and knew what to do. I think in some other matches at the end of the game, frankly, they were bigger, faster, and stronger. And I think that always will trump experience. They were better at that in that game in that second half in those matchups.
You mentioned the great run you guys had, the 8-0 mark. I mean, sometimes a lot's made of that going in the playoffs in terms of if a team is undefeated. People want to debate if that's a good thing or a bad thing with the ideas of, a loss letting you learn about yourself or breaking pressure or anything. I mean, did you have any thoughts or sense of that going into the postseason that, that in some ways it was either a good thing or a bad thing being an undefeated team heading in?
The only time I've sensed our team ever being tight about being undefeated was going into the last game of our regular season, where we played Franklin and Marshall, and it was a close game. We won, I believe it was 12-10, but didn't play real well and were tight, and I think that was on our guys' minds at that point. other than that, it was never a factor. It was never a goal of ours to go undefeated. We'd never talked about it. So no, I don't think we needed to lose to learn any lessons. I think we learned a lot from winning, and we were the type of team where we could be critical and constructively improve from success and from wins and continue to get better. So no, I don't think that was a factor, and it wasn't something that was on our minds or talked about. It was just the next game.
You know, with that undefeated run, you know, was there any kind of I don't know if disbelief is the right term, but just kind of, you know, that odd, unsettling feeling at the end of the game today? I mean, not only did you guys lose, but it being the first loss of the season, it's kind of a bad way to get that first taste in your mouth in the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, it's real tough to have, you know, you go 18-0, and then you have one half that's not great, as we did in the second half yesterday, and the season's over. So a lot of our parents that have been huge fans and so supportive struggled with that notion, and the young guys as well. We finished up yesterday, and today we're down in the locker room and cleaning out, and exams are over, and guys have to get off campus. So you go 500 miles an hour for 3 and 4 months, and then suddenly it just stops. And it's tough to make that transition.
You know, maybe a day removed now from the game, do you have a sense of kind of perspective at all in terms of the season? I mean, obviously you would have liked to continue to play in advance and hopefully get yourself to the championship game, but you know, you guys had a great season overall, 18-1 record. You finished the year number 2 in the most recent polls. You earned the number 1 seed in the South. You know, just, I mean, it seems like a strong overall year from Dickinson, though obviously you'd like to keep playing.
Absolutely, and you know, our young men were heartbroken last night and this morning again when we met, but maybe weeks from now, months from now, certainly years from now, their memories will be of that 18-0 start, of all the tremendous records and first we set, and of the awesome camaraderie and cohesiveness of the team that we had. It was a special atmosphere in that locker room from the first day, tremendous care for each other, and a group that was just a joy to coach. They liked practicing, they liked working hard, and it showed in the results.
And, you know, Coach, I mean, you lose some big-name guys like Brandon Palladino, Matt Sherry, Peter Zoke, Christian Beitel. But, you know, you guys, I mean, how much does it feel like you bring back? Or you know, I mean, it might be hard to jump to next year already, but does it feel like a lot of good things from this year might be able to carry over into next?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some key pieces that are graduating, and the entire senior class, 12 seniors, have created a winning culture on this team. The senior class won 65 games in 4 years. They graduate with a record of 65-10. Amazing. And have elevated this program to certainly a different level. And I think we have the depth and the experience and the culture of this team in place now where we certainly don't expect to stop that. We want to continue to build on that and develop and have to have some young guys step into some new roles, and certainly are excited about the recruits we have coming in. So we've done the work to get us here, and now that work to sustain and improve continues and is even more difficult in some ways, but we're excited about the challenge and ready to take that next step.
And Coach, I mean, you don't have familiarity with Stevenson in terms of playing this year, but obviously you just got done with the game against Salisbury. Any thoughts on that upcoming, you know, Stevenson Salisbury game this Sunday?
Well, I'm not sure. We haven't played Stevenson, and don't know them real well. I haven't been able to kind of plan ahead and project. It's been really one game at a time. So I'm not tremendously familiar with Stevenson. I do know that rivalry with Stevenson and Salisbury is pretty intense. I certainly think that Salisbury's playing really well now and excited about it. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, which is a scary thing for Salisbury. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game, and I know Stevenson will be ready and certainly expect that to be a battle. I think from scores, it looks like RIT up north and Cortland are certainly really strong too. So the four remaining teams are all good strong programs. It's going to be a heck of a battle in those semis and in the finals.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for letting me know a little bit about the game yesterday. And, you know, obviously we would like to see you advance, but congratulations on really a great season overall for Dickinson.
Thanks so much, Zach. Appreciate it.
Now we'll go to the northern side of the bracket, starting with the Cortland-West New England game. They started out slow. Cortland was able to walk off with the win, and now they advance to play RIT in the northern semifinals. We talked to Coach Steve Bevel about the win for his Dragons squad. Coach Steve Bevel from Cortland now joins us. His team beat West New England yesterday to advance to the Division III semifinals. Again, a familiar spot for Cortland. Coach, I guess, you know, for starters, how does it feel to you know, be back in that good spot advancing to the playoffs here?
Well, it's great. You know, it never gets old, you know, advancing and give yourself a shot to play on Memorial Day. So we're very excited and, you know, and like I said, you know, never really gets old. Every year is a new adventure and we're enjoying it.
Can you take me a little bit through the game yesterday? It seems like I wasn't able to see much of it, but I was following it along as I was sitting up in Owing Mills covering the Salisbury, or rather the Stevenson-Lynchburg game. But it seemed like, you know, West New England kept it close early in the game, maybe up and through about halftime, and then it seemed like in the second half you guys were able to kind of open it up a bit more in the third quarter and then using your strong defense protect that lead as the game kept on.
Yeah, that's pretty much how the game went. I mean, you know, I give Western Ring a lot of credit. You know, we had, you know, pretty much, you know, pummeled them earlier in the year and handled it pretty easily. And that wasn't the case last night. They played very well. They had a strong game plan defensively, I thought. They controlled the ball and you know, controlled some of the pace of the game early in the game. That being said, you know, you look at the halftime stats, we had taken 30 shots by halftime to their 10. And out-ground balled them, out-faced off them. And we also had five pipes in the first half. So, you know, you just kind of had that feeling it was going to start to, you know, it was going to start to happen for us. You know, it just took a little longer, of course, than we wanted it to. But, you know, the guys stayed with the game plan and, you know, some of the lanes started opening up and their zone defense started to fade a little bit. So, it was a good win for us. It was a good, hard, aggressive game. And Western New England played very well.
You know, when you say that you guys, you know, kind of helped dominate or kind of dominate the stats early and you know, just maybe were missing a couple of pipes and stuff like that, how did the team feel around that game? I mean, you have a pretty experienced team, particularly in these postseason situations. Did the team kind of seem to exude that same confidence or that same feeling of, okay, we're pretty close here, we you know, one of these is going to start dropping soon, or was it maybe a little bit the opposite where guys were a little tighter as things weren't falling the way they thought maybe early in the game and then the break at the half loosened them up a little bit? Or something?
I don't think anybody was tight. Like I said, I mean, we really were, you know, we pounded them with shots. I mean, 30 shots and a half is a lot. And, you know, like I said, you know, we hit some pipes, you know, hit a couple defenders with shots, missed the cage a bit, but we just kept telling the guys, you know, they're going to start to fall. Just keep shooting, keep being aggressive offensively, step in lanes. And, you know, and things will start to happen. And, you know, like you mentioned, we've been in a lot of close games this year, so there was really no panic or, you know, there was never a time where I felt that guys were, you know, wide-eyed or panicky at all. We just, you know, we knew what we had to do, and 60 minutes was a long time. So, you know, we found a way to get it done in the second half.
How confidently is this team playing right now? I mean, you guys are undefeated through this point in the year. Like you've said, you know, you played in a lot of close games and have, you know, been able to find those plays that wind up getting you the win in the end. I mean, this is, you know, as we said before, it's a pretty experienced group in terms of getting to the playoffs. And, you know, Cortland generally, I mean, you guys are there a lot. You played in the championship game last year. I mean, how well is this team playing and how confident in how they play are they?
Well, we're confident. You know, I think that you have to have that, you know, particularly this time of the year as you go in and play against any opponent that you're going against. But I don't think we're cocky. I think that, you know, we realize we take these one at a time. And we, you know, we talk about that a lot, about not looking past anybody. And, you know, making sure we focus in on the opponent that's in front of us, you know, for that particular day. And obviously now, you know, it's going to be RIT. So, you know, our focus is on RIT. You know, we've got film. We're going to be breaking down film and spend some time in the film room watching them. We played them earlier in the year. We think we got a pretty good idea of what they do and their personnel. And you know, we expect it to be a great game on Sunday.
You know, as you mentioned before, you guys played West New England earlier in the year, and then, you know, you just beat them this past Wednesday. Then, you know, you play RIT again on Sunday, whom you played to a one-goal double overtime game win for you guys earlier in the season. You know, before getting into RIT, just generally in kind of an approach aspect, do you have to take playing a team in the playoffs that you've played in the regular season in a particular way? I mean, teams change a lot over the course of a year. Are you hoping your guys remember things from that first game, or are you hoping they almost forget because, you know, the Western New England you see now is different than maybe the Western New England you saw 2 months ago or something? Or
Yeah, they were definitely different. Western New England, you know, John is known for mixing up his lineup and you know, putting attack with immediate, putting immediate attack and changing guys up all the time. So, you know, we knew it would be a different team, and they're playing a lot better, you know, at this point than they were earlier in the year as well. So, you know, we got to go with the personnel and not so much worry about, you know, what how they're attacking the goal as much. And we know guys are left-handed, right-handed, and you know, some of their tendencies, those things are very important, you know, as you go into every game. Those things aren't going to change, you know. You can change the way that you're running your offense and what you're doing defensively, which they did. But I think we got a pretty good idea of what they wanted to do, you know, from a personnel standpoint and what their guys' tendencies are. You know, going into the RIT game, they're excellent. You know, they've got four or five Canadian kids that are very good shooters and very good offensive players. They got some real slick attackmen that have produced for them and put up some great numbers. And they're just very dynamic offensively. A lot of the pick and roll game that you see in the box, pick and slip. You know, they do some mumbo plays from up top to try to, get you to slide early and then fade off to the backside. So, you know, they do some different things on offense. They're certainly not going to change what they do because they're good at it. And they don't have to change what they do. So, you know, it's going to be our job to try to combat that with what we can. And you know, we'll try to do some things a little bit different defensively to try to handle their pick game.
You mentioned that pick game and kind of the unique offense RIT runs. You know, that was one of those things that I thought would be very beneficial to them in their playoff run, that since they run kind of this interesting, maybe hard to scout offense, you know, that other teams may struggle with it. I mean, is it at all a comforter to you, or at least you think a leg up to have played them once already, so you're at least slightly more familiar with it in terms of actually seeing how it operates on a field?
Yeah, they're like I said, you know, we know they're going to run it. They know they're going to run it. The other teams know they're going to run it, and it's another thing stopping it, you know, because there's a lot of options off it. And, you know, whether they, like I said, if you jump early, they slip. If you switch sometimes, they seal you off and roll. You know, there's just some things you have to do from your off-ball guys. You know, have to be in position to step in and help, you know, at times when they're doing those things. But, you know, it absolutely, you know, helps to have gone against it, you know, at least one time this year. And then, you know, obviously we're going to prepare in our practices for it as well.
And, Coach, I mean, Cortland is a great tradition up there. You guys play a lot of postseason games. I've lived in upstate New York, and the people really kind of come out in the springtime for some of these games. You know, can you paint a picture at all of what you maybe expect the atmosphere to be like on Sunday up in Cortland for this game?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I don't know what the student body is going to be like because we're graduated and school's over. So, you know, I think a lot of the older kids will be around for graduation from the day before. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a couple thousand people. You know, upstate New York fans will be there. And, you know, this is a huge game. And both teams have a lot of kids from, you know, from the local areas, from Rochester, Syracuse, you know, Albany, Buffalo. And you know, so I think it's going to be pretty crazy, pretty loud, and it should be an unbelievable day for lacrosse.
All right, well, Coach, thank you very much for talking to me today, and you know, congratulations on getting to the semifinals again, and best of luck against RIT on Sunday.
Thanks, Jack.
Take care. Finally, we'll wrap up today's podcast with Division III Notebook writer Ken Stockman, who's also a Rochester resident. Ken took in all four of the games, so he's going to first chime in with his thoughts on RIT versus Tufts, and then we'll move on to a little bit of predictions on what may play out in the upcoming semifinals. Okay, we're now joined by Inside Lacrosse Division III Notebook writer Ken Stockman. Ken, probably one of the scores that surprised me the most out of Wednesday's games was RIT really kind of taking it to Tufts, 14-5, I think was the final there. You know, I know you told me you watched all four of the games on Wednesday. Can you tell me what you saw out of that RIT Tufts game?
Yeah, sure. Like yourself, it was the most surprising by far. I honestly thought it was going to be a much better game than it was. But I think the main difference maker was the face-off play. Tyler Brooks Lampert for RIT was absolutely dominating. He was 13-20 from for the day on facing off, and that just allowed him to get off to a quick start. The attack was hitting their shots right away. They jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and then Tufts to get one back, and then they finished off the first quarter with a 4-1 lead. And you know, the defense for RIT was just not allowing top players to get anything going. You know, Pat Johnson was great in that. He had, I believe, like 15 saves yesterday. Luke Wolf, Joe Dupra, Elliot Calvern, all great games. And then, you know, it was that attack at RIT is just, they've gotten better every single time I've seen them play. You know, I did see the Cabrini game last weekend, and I thought they played great, but I think they even took it to another level yesterday against Tufts.
Yeah, I was really shocked that, you know, I mean, on top of the fact that the overall deficit was as wide as it was, that RIT was able to jump out so quickly in terms of, I mean, with about 5 minutes or 4 minutes left in the second quarter, you know, RIT is already sitting on a 10-2 lead. I mean, did the game have the feel of one of those things where RIT just jumped out so quick that it was just really hard for Tufts to even get back into it down the stretch and try and cut an 8-goal deficit, particularly, you know, with a team as talented as RIT? And I've heard from coaches even saying that, you know, when games like that, it's so difficult of you're already at a deficit, and RIT can keep scoring, so it's not like, you know, I mean, it's not like they stopped at 10 goals and the game ended at 10-2 or 10-6. I mean, RIT, you know, put in a couple more after that and kept up, as this really wide margin.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, Tufts, you fall behind like that, and then there's just such urgency on every single possession, you know. You feel the need to score every time you get the ball on offense, and you start forcing things, and, you know, they really some uncharacteristic errors on offense for them yesterday. But again, I think RIT's defense had a lot to do with that. And then the fact that every time, you know, RIT scored, you know, they're winning the faceoff too. So it was just really hard for them to get into a rhythm yesterday, Tufts that is. And, you know, it's just the deficit kept growing. And not to say that they weren't ready to go off the bat. I mean, that's not an assumption for me to make. But, you know, RIT was definitely ready to play and just, you know, had all the momentum right from the get-go.
You know, you mentioned the RIT attack. I mean, this offense has been dangerous all year. They're putting up some pretty ridiculous numbers. But, it, you know, from what you see, I mean, can you get a sense of how hard is it to play this RIT team because of the individual skills of you know, these offensive players? And how hard is it to play them on top of that because these guys play this very crafty, kind of innovative, kind of unusual offense, utilizing a lot of the Canadian-style stuff, a lot of the two-man games, the picks and slips, all that. You know, how much is it kind of that combination that seems to really give teams fits?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. You know, they do play that Canadian style. I mean, Kyle Acklin, who's one of their midfielders, does bounce down to attack every once in a while. One of the best finishers I've seen all year. I've just been super impressed with him, you know, since the first game I saw them play against Stevenson. And it's just one of those styles that you're not prepared to play against. You know, it's similar to like an Albany in Division One, where, you know, you've got that great attack and they play a different style, and it's not something you're preparing for week to week. you know, you got to pretty much draw up a new game plan just to play RIT, because it's not something you've seen, you know, throughout the season. So they definitely have that as an advantage. You know, Jack, Kristen, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, you know, kind of the quarterback of the offense, and it was really, you know, a tough kid and, you know, handles the ball, and, you know, those guys moving around, they're almost never standing still, you know. It's almost like watching a box game. You know, no one's standing still on offense for RIT, and it's, you know, it's to their advantage. It wears down defenses, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I got to see RIT in that opening game against Stevenson, too, and I was really impressed by how they move. And, I mean, it seems like now the way they're playing, you know, they're better now probably than they were at any point during the season. And you know, with that in mind, I mean, so now they enter a semifinal game against Cortland where, yeah, they're traveling to Cortland. Yeah, Cortland's number one seed, but the first time this game was played, it was a 12-11, two overtime win for Cortland. You know, if you looked at the results, or at least the semifinal round, it looks like RIT had more success against arguably a better team in Tufts than Cortland had against a, you know, a very formidable Western New England squad. I mean, do you have a sense of how this semifinal matchup might line up against Cortland and RIT here?
It's going to be a great game. They're about as evenly matched as you can get. Both have super solid defenses. Real tough to score on. Great goalies on either side. Kaminsky is a heck of a goalie, possibly, you know, the best one in the nation, I think. And, you know, the RIT attack, I think, would probably have the edge there. They're a little bit more of the offensive punch for them, whereas Cortland gets a lot of their offense from their midfield, you know, specifically Joe Slavic. But, you know, to pick a winner right now is just... It's nearly impossible. You know, I would expect a lot of the, you know, pretty much the same kind of game we had the first time around, where it's going to be back and forth, and it's going to come down to the wire, and quite possibly overtime again. It's really tough to pick a team that has a definitive advantage right now. Possibly, you know, RIT with their face-off game right now is, you know, they've been doing real well at least the past few games. They've been dominating at the X. You know, that might be the one advantage they have over Cortland at this point, but, you know, it's just so tight.
And I guess, you know, I mean, looking at the other side now in the South semifinal, you know, we have Stevenson and Salisbury meeting for the second time this season, for the umpteenth time in probably the past, you know, 4 or 5 years here with how often those two teams have gone back and forth. You know, what are you kind of maybe thinking heading into that semifinal game?
I think that's going to be a great game, too. I'm actually kind of excited they're playing again. I felt like with Stevenson's moves to the MAC, you know, I was a little disappointed that we weren't going to see that matchup as often as we had in the past. But, you know, here we are. We're getting it again. I think both teams there, they both have very good defenses, good goalies. Pekunis, he was pulled in the game before last, sort of settled himself down. I thought he played fairly well last night. And Alex Taylor, I think, is one of the better goalies. You know, he's good with the ball outside the cage, good on clears, makes nice stops, and both of them have just great defenses. Salisbury's offense, at points this season, I thought they were, you know, really clicking, and I was like, oh, no, you know, the rest of the D3 had better watch out. You know, they're really getting it together. And then they just have games where, you know, they can't even score 10 goals. So they've kind of been up and down that way. And I think Stevenson's been a lot of the same. You know, they've got Dashiell, who's a great player, and Panikin's probably the best pure shooter, you know, in all of D3. If you give him time and room on that right-hand side, you know, he's going to stick at 9 out of 10. So, it's going to be another barn burner, you know, probably a 1 or 2 goal game. But I'd probably give the edge to Stevenson at this point, just with the experience and being a little bit older of a team.
You know, were you at all surprised to see, I guess, Salisbury sitting in this spot? I mean, I'm kind of going back and forth in terms of like you said, you know, they struggled at times this season. I mean, I can't think of the last time you saw a 5-loss Salisbury team or a team that doesn't win the CAC. But yet, then here we are in May, and they're working their way through the tournament, and lo and behold, they wind up bumping off, you know, the number one overall seed in Dickinson, and you know, now they're back in the semifinals, and, you know, potentially a step away from playing in another championship game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but quite honestly, I mean, that's just what they do with Salisbury. They just reload every single year, regardless of who they lose. I mean, even the players they expected to have this year that they lost, you know, Ryan Clark and the defenseman's name's escaping me right now. But, you know, it's, you know, as the season went on, you know, you're thinking, you know, this isn't going to be Salisbury's year, you know. And then, but then again, you know, here they are. And no, I'm not surprised because they're here every year. You know, why should you be surprised about that? You know, it's just what they do at Salisbury. That's the Seagulls, you know.
And I guess, you know, with that in mind, Ken, I mean, is there these seem like difficult games to pull from here. Do you have either a projection on who you think is going to be meeting up in Philly, or better yet, maybe a who you hope is going to be meeting up in Philly?
From the beginning of the season, I've said it's going to be Stevenson and Cortland, and then I'm just going to stick with that. But quite honestly, if it went Salisbury and RIT, that wouldn't surprise me. But just because I picked it in the beginning of the season, I'm going to stick with my Stevenson-Cortland pick.
All right, well, Ken, that's what we call integrity. So thank you very much for coming on and sticking to your guns here on the championship match, and you know, for providing your great insight on InsideLacrosse.com all season. Will we be checking with you at all, either before the semifinals or I guess heading in with to the championship game?
Yeah, I should have a preview of the semifinal games going up on the site either tomorrow or Saturday. And yeah, you can look for a couple things probably in the week leading up to the championship game.
All right, well, Ken, thank you very much, and enjoy taking the semifinal games on Sunday. I know Dave Ramey, I think, will be with us out in Cortland picking up that game, and I'll be up at Owing Mills, Maryland, to take on Stevenson Salisbury. And, Ken, I imagine you'll be glued to your laptop checking out both of them.
Absolutely.
Take care. So that concludes this week's Division III Inside Lacrosse podcast. I just want to come back on to remind everybody to make sure to follow InsideLacrosse.com all weekend for great coverage of the Division I men's quarterfinals on Saturday and Division III semifinals on Sunday. I'll be back up at Stevenson for their game against Salisbury at 7. As always, come to InsideLacrosse.com or search the iTunes store for Inside Lacrosse to keep getting the most recent editions of our broad family of Inside Lacrosse podcasts. Any questions or thoughts about the show, feel free to email me, zbabo@insidelacrosse.com. That's zbabo@insidelacrosse.com. Or find me on Twitter at zachbabo, no spaces. That's at Zach Babbo. Have fun taking all the playoff action this weekend. While D1 games will be on TV, go out and enjoy some gorgeous spring weather and taking a game live if you can, particularly these D3 contests. It is definitely the best way to take them in.